Dio, what I'm going to say next, happy Monday. None of you give me the stink eye when I say that, but my students on Monday look at me like, you did not just say that. Okay, wow, I am so excited to be here and to see all your wonderful faces, and we get the just amazing privilege of studying God's Word tonight and all week as you were going through this homework, if you were. And tonight we're focusing on our character study of the Apostle Peter. And the whole time, like, I just like stop and pray and ask the Lord, like, well, what do you want me to cover? Like, there's so much to learn about Peter in the Bible, and it was such a fun homework to go through. So I just kept asking the Lord, okay, what do you want me to cover? What do you want me to say about Peter? So it kept me very close to him, which I was grateful for. So we're titling the message, A Firm Foundation, and our key verse is going to be Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19, though we will weave through a lot of scriptures that cover Peter nonetheless. So Matthew 16, verses 13 to 19, and I'm going to read it to you to get us started. And it starts here in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So let's bow our heads in prayers and we'll start the study. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon this place, that it would teach us your word. Lord, we know that you desire for us to grow in your word, and we know that you are faithful. We bow our hearts to you now, and God, we ask that you would just plant seeds, Lord, that will just bring forth fruit from your word, and that we would go forth and share it this week to those around us in an encouraging way to be the light of your world, Lord. And we just thank you for your love and mercy, God, and we ask that you would be here now and be worshiped continually in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I love that oftentimes when someone teaches, right, it seems like the Holy Spirit works on all ends, right? And seemed like the Holy Spirit whispered something to Naomi and Noemi and Grace and said, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, we sang. And tonight we're going to look at the names of Peter, right? And what it means to us. So before we get started on all the biblical names of Peter and how Jesus addressed him, I just thought about like names in the Bible in general mean a lot. Okay, in the Bible, when we see people's name, it almost like tells a story about them, even though we don't know them, right? So maybe sometimes like there's like only their name. Like we did a study in David's wives, okay? That was so fun. Kim's laughing. It was really fun. And it's on our website. If you weren't with us, you can go listen to it. But sometimes the only thing we knew about one of David's wives was their name, right? And it's like, it told a whole story. It was amazing, right? So names say so much about us and say so much about the Bible, right? They were important to God. There was a lot of emphasis on there. They share character and personality. I remember Kim taught a message a while back, and it was on the midwives of Moses, whose name was Pua. Do you remember this, Kim? Okay. And all I remember from that wonderful message she taught was that Pua's name meant glitter. I was like, she must have been just like this over the top character. Like I had this whole vision. So like the name, her name told us so much about her, even though we know so little, but she was like a field force for the Lord because she like saved a lot of the Hebrew babies. So she was very glittery. I love that. I also think about like the name Naomi in the Bible, right? And her name actually means, you probably already know this, it means kindness, pleasant, and delightful, right? That's what her name means. So like it kind of gives you a glimmer into her personality. And when she went back to Israel after she had left during the famine time, she told everybody, like, don't call me kindness, delightful, and pleasant. Call me Mara because I've become bitter, right? So, like, her name, like, really reflected, like, her, like, season of life and what she was doing. And it also tells us a lot about, like, who we are. I was just thinking a lot about, like, my maiden name is Artin. Okay, so my last name was Artin before I got married and became a Belle. And my maiden name was Artin legally, but that's actually not our family name. And this is the funny part because Kim didn't know this when she asked me to teach this, but my actually heritage family last name is Bedrosian, which is the Armenian version of Peterson. And the reason why it changed, okay, is because during the First World War, many of you know that there was an Armenian genocide where the Ottoman Empire in Turkey was persecuting Christians in Armenia. They actually annihilated 1.5 million Armenians because they would not convert in their from their Christian faith. And during this time, my great-grandfather actually was a refugee and went to Syria in Aleppo. And when he got to Aleppo, they said, what's your last name? And he said, Bedrosian, Peterson, right? And they're like, no, you can't do the IAN. That's too obvious. You're Armenian and you're a liability to us. So you have to figure out something else for your last name. And he said, well, I don't know. That's my last name. That's my family's name. And they're like, well, what was your father's name? And he said, well, I'm son of Artin. So his dad's name, my great-great-grandfather's name was Artin. So that's why our legal name became Artin, right? But so I like that I'm teaching on Peter and I was a Peterson. So it was like very appropriate. And then even my name, right, is Hebrew. And I don't even know if my parents knew that my name was Hebrew origin when they named me. I called my mom today and I was like, can you remind me why you named me Tamar? And she was like, well, actually, your dad went to a wedding when I was pregnant with you and they had released the most amazing Armenian pop song when he went to this wedding that was called Oh Tamar, okay? And when he came back, he loved the song so much, he brought like an A-track of the cassette, right? Even before they had the cassettes. And we played it and they decided they were going to name me Tamar. Okay. So I was named after an Armenian pop song. But I also think about like when I had Noah, like how much prayer went into naming him, right? The name meant so much. John, some of you know this story, but John was actually teaching a prophecy message in January, and I had Noah in May, and I had not yet like known if he was going to be a boy or a girl. And he was studying the book of Genesis, specifically Genesis 6:8, which said that Noah had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And he ran upstairs and he's like, I have to tell you something. We're going to have a boy. And I was like, well, how do you know that? And he's like, God said his name is going to be Noah. So we're naming him Noah. So I was like, oh, this is really exciting. And then weeks later, right, I found out, yes, I was having a boy. But then a few weeks after that, it was really sweet because I was just sitting before the Lord in my quiet time. And God had like shown me personally as I was going through the book of Isaiah that his middle name is to be Isaiah, okay? So his name is Noah Isaiah. And it's funny because Noah means rested and Isaiah means in the salvation of Jehovah. So his full name, like together, means rested in the salvation of Jehovah. Well, he turned 2 and he was like the busiest toddler you had ever met, okay? Some Lamona, who's his teacher, and Nancy are like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right? So as I was like, I would sit there and pray for him at night when he'd go to sleep. I'm like, Lord, you gave us those names. This makes no sense. Like, he's not rested. He's very busy. We call him No Chill Noah, right? And the Lord reminded me, yes, he's only rested in the salvation of Yehovah, right? Not rested in his own person, but rested in Yehovah. So I love that, right? I'm always praying for Noah, like, Lord, I pray that he would be rested in your salvation. I pray that he would be rested in your salvation. So why do I share all this about names, right? Again, the names of Peter, there are so many that the Bible references to. And I thought that was the perfect way to do a character study and learn about Peter through those three names. So we're going to look at Simon as our first point, the name Simon. The second, we're going to look at the name Peter. And the third, we're actually going to look at the name Petros. So a little overview before we cover the name Simon. So who was Simon Peter? My first question that I had to answer was, who was his family, right? Where does he come from? Well, we know that his father's name was Jonah. He had a brother named Andrew that actually introduced him to Jesus. He was married, and he had a mother-in-law who Jesus healed from sickness. The next question is, what was his trade? He was a fisherman, according to Matthew 4:18. But in Luke chapter 5, Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. Where did Peter live, you might ask? I will tell you. he was born in the town of Bethsaida, a small town in Galilee. But during Jesus' ministry, he moved to Capernaum, which was also in Galilee. So he moved to the other place, right, where he served in the ministry of Jesus. And of course, our favorite part is, what was his personality like? I loved reading the overview of our homework. Okay, I was really personally blessed by it. I read it several times, and I actually pulled a quote from it because I thought it summed him up so well. It said, "Peter struggled with self-righteousness and pride, which are tendencies we can all relate to. When Peter's gaze was focused on Christ, he did incredible spirit-filled works." And I love that. So he was a visionary and was willing to take lots of risks. I felt that was cool to learn. So now that we have an overview of who the Apostle Peter is, let's look at the first name of this study, the name Simon. So we see Simon first in John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. And Matthew 4:18. So the name Simon, or in the Hebrew, Shimon, means one who hears or has heard, which is really funny because, right, like Simon always struggled hearing what the Lord had to tell him, but his name literally meant, right, one who hears of God and has heard. So where does that come from? In Genesis 29:33, we see that Leah, right, gives birth to a second son, and his name is Simeon from the 12 tribes of Israel. Genesis 29:33 says that then she, Leah, conceived and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also," and she called his name Simeon. So I like that because that tells us a lot about his Jewish heritage, right? He was named after one of the 12 men of the tribes of Israel. So it gives us his historical identity. And I like that Jesus doesn't ignore this, right? He highlights this. He tells us like where he comes from, this rich Jewish history, right? And he uses that. Jesus uses that. I like that Jesus also often calls him Simon Bar-Jonah, which means son of Jonah, right? So it talks a lot about like where he came from and his family history. But what do we learn about the character from this name Simon? Well, one, like we said, he was a visionary. He saw things big picture, right? He just like was a go for it kind of guy. And in and of himself, he was pretty shaky, right? Like he just went for it and just dealt with the consequences later. But because he was a go for it guy, right, he was willing to make mistakes. But my favorite part about what we learn from the name Simon is that he was just a normal guy, right? He was normal. He was like you and I. He was a fisherman. He wasn't eloquent. He didn't have a fancy degree, but he was used by Jesus because Jesus called him. He received that calling, and he went for it, and he kept walking with Jesus in the ups and downs. And that's what I love that we can learn from the name Simon. So we learn that Simon was just a normal guy called by God. So the next name, the second point, is the name Peter. Peter or Cephas. We also see the name Cephas. And these go together. I'll explain why. Because it means the same thing. Peter is the Greek word Petros. Petros. And this means rock or stone. But in actuality, it's a really tiny rock or a little pebble. That's literally what it translates. Petros means little tiny rock or pebble. So it's suggesting like instability, right? It's tiny. Cephas is actually the Aramaic version of the word Petros or the name Petros. So it's one and of the same. And I wanted to take a second to look at Peter's confession here. So we're going to go back to our key verse, Matthew 16, and we're going to look at verse 16. It says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter calls Jesus two names. So we're looking at Peter's names, but here, right, in this key verse, we're looking at the two names that Peter calls Jesus. So he calls Jesus the Christ and the Son of the living God. So those two names are very important, right? The Christ means the Messiah. He's acknowledging, right, his deity, saying you're set apart, you are anointed by God the Father, you are the coming one, right? You are the one we are looking for. And the second name he uses is Son of the Living God. So David Guzik, who's a Bible commentator and pastor, says this about Son of the Living God. Simon understands that Jesus was not only God's Messiah, but also God himself. The Jews properly thought that to receive the title Son of the Living God was to proclaim deity itself. So he's acknowledging you are set apart by God the Father, but you are God, right? Jesus was God who became man, who died on the cross for our sins. And that's what he's saying. And I like that his answer, right, like says like oftentimes Jesus calls him in these verses that we looked at, Simon and Peter. So he says, Simon and Peter, and it kind of acknowledges our dual nature here on earth, right? We have our flesh, right? And if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, and you choose, right, which one you're going to bow to, which one is going to have lordship over you, right? So this is kind of another practical part of things we can learn from Simon Peter, right? He was just like us. He struggled with his flesh. And he had the Holy Spirit and said amazing things like calling Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what does that tell us, right? It shows us that through Peter, a tiny pebble that trusts a boulder, Jesus, he can move mountains, right? So Bible commentator and pastor Skip Heitzig said this, Peter was a pebble who put his trust into a boulder and taught others how to build a solid foundation. So who was this rock that Peter put his trust in? This rock was actually the Petros, the third point, the third name. Petros was the second. Petra is the third one. And this is like large stone, right? So he calls Peter small, tiny stone, pebble. That's what it means. But he's saying the rock, right? That's the Petra, right? If you've ever seen pictures of Petra in Jordan, or maybe you've seen it in person, it just looks like this thing cannot be moved. it's so beautiful, right? So Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, I also say to you that you are Peter, right? Petros. And on this rock, Petra, I will build my church. So Peter, again, is this tiny rock. And this rock that Jesus is proclaiming is Petra, that he will build his church on. So it's Peter's confession here that Jesus is the Christ, is what Jesus is talking about that he will build his church on. So Jesus is not building his church on Peter, but Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, big difference right there. So thinking about like Bible verses of God being our rock, there's a lot. Okay, and This is one of my favorite names of God, okay? Because I have like a tendency to be very anxious. This is just, you know, who I am. So I always have to go back to the rock that's greater than I am to ask him to help me with things I'm anxious on. So the first reference here is Deuteronomy 32:4. It says that he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteousness and upright is he. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 62:2 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. And last, Psalm 95:1 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And like I said, Jesus being my rock is one of my favorite names of God. I know we all have our favorites and there are plenty, but I've shared this exhortation before. But if any of you have not gone through the names of God study, we went through it a few summers ago as a women's ministry, and they're on our website. I highly encourage you to do that, because I cannot find anything more amazing than knowing how to call upon the name of God in different circumstances, right? And I always say the little trick is, if you forget which one to call upon, just say Jehovah, because that's the all-becoming one. It covers everything. So yes, thinking about how to call upon the name of God. And I think it also helps us understand the character of our God, right? Like who he is and how precious he is. But I remember being a new believer and talking to a really good friend. And I had just like accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I was talking to my friend. I was talking about another person that I was very close to. And I said, well, this person's my rock. And I remember like an immediate conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not putting any legalistic trip on you if you've ever said that about anyone in your life. That was just a big no-no for me. The Holy Spirit is like, no, no, no. You do not call anyone your rock. Only Jesus is your rock. So I stopped that day. I never called anyone else. My dad, my mom, I love them dearly. They mean everything to me, but they're not my rock. Only Jesus is my rock, right? So I love like thinking about like what that means. Like it's so special to me, like to know that Jesus is my rock. So Peter, right, like is professing that Jesus is the rock, okay? But he has to go a long way before he gets broken and surrendered and is just fully used in ministry. So that's going to take us to John chapter 21, starting in verse 17. It says about Jesus, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep, right? So a little context to this story, right? Many of you know this, but essentially Jesus, right, was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked Peter and a few of the other disciples to pray with him, but they were tired and fell asleep and did not pray. And Jesus had forewarned Peter, right, that he was going to deny him three times. And Jesus said, I would never do such a thing, right? I would never do such a thing. He was just relying in his own strength in and of himself, right? And of course, right, he denied Jesus three times when Jesus was going to the cross to die for his sins, for our sins. And the rooster crowed and he had remembered what Jesus told him. And he was completely broken. He was just full of sadness. He was weeping and crying. And I love this scene that we're looking at in John 21, right? Jesus is restoring him. And it says that Jesus asked him three times, do you love me, Peter, right? And it's like Jesus was fully restoring him, right? He was like, I'm with you. Love you. I will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what you say or don't do or do, right? I am here with you. And I love this picture because when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Okay, the Greek language has four different words of love. And the first two times Jesus asks Peter, he says, do you agape me? Okay, and that word agape, agapao, just means, do you love me unconditionally? Right? Do you love me unconditionally? And every time Peter responds to Jesus, he says, I love you with a brotherly love. I don't love you unconditionally, because he was so broken for denying Jesus. And the third time, right, Jesus actually changes the word. He says, okay, Peter, do you brotherly love me? And what does Peter say? We just read, right? He says, I do. But before he says, I do, he says, you know all things, right? So I love this picture because this is a really good quote from a commentary I read. It said, Peter did believe that he loved Jesus, yet he relied on Jesus' own knowledge of all things by saying, you know all things. Peter had finally understood that Jesus knew him better than he did himself, and was surrendered to God as a result. And I love that picture, right? I love that picture. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself, right? And I love that Jesus doesn't like toss out Peter's personality. He uses it, right? He sanctifies him. He restores him. He ministers to him. And he uses him very mightily after that, because what did Peter do in that moment is he fell on the rock that's immovable, right? He said, I'm not depending on myself anymore. I'm depending on you, Jesus, right? So why is Jesus our rock, you might ask, okay? One, it's because he's faithful. It's because Jesus is immovable. No matter what happens in the world and what we're sad about, what we're happy about, what we're anxious about, what we're frustrated and angry about, right? Jesus does not move. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says, okay? Jesus is worthy to be our rock because he's sinless. Right? He lived a perfect, sinless life that we could not live, right? He did it on our behalf and went to the cross and bore our sins. And I love that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. So he is worthy to be our rock. So what do we learn from the name Petra? That we can trust Jesus, that Jesus is immovable in all of our circumstances, and that only, right, just as Peter was, when we put our trust and surrender in Jesus, then he can move mountains. So we're going to bring this all together in a short review, okay? The name Simon literally means to hear God. And Simon was just a normal guy that was called and anointed by Jesus and got changed from the inside out. The name Peter means tiny pebble, but he put his trust in a boulder. And the name Petra is the name of Jesus, our rock of ages and our salvation. He is always worthy to be trusted. So I want to end from a short bit from one of my favorite hymns, and it goes like this. I consider you've heard it, maybe. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you remind us that you are our rock of salvation, God, that you are immovable in this world and in these times, that everything just feels so shaky, God, that we can glean from Peter's life and his names and remember that you were immovable in his life and you desire to be the same in our lives. I pray that we would allow you to do that. I pray that I would allow you to do that, God, to be my immovable rock, Lord, that you would be on the throne high and lifted up and we would just be in awe continuously of you because you are worthy to be worshiped and you are worthy to be our rock. So thank you, Jesus. We just pray now all things in your name. Amen.
Hello. Hi, ladies. I'm so thankful I'm not having to give a recap. Thank you, Tamar, for recapping that beautifully. All right, ladies, tonight I've been asked to come up here and just give you some encouragement and some information about how we can help the hurricane victims from Hurricane Helene. So obviously a lot of areas have been devastated by the hurricane, and it's so overwhelming that it almost feels like it's too much. I can't do anything because I don't even know where to start. And so thankfully Calvary Chapel Association reached out to Pastor John, to Calvary Chapel Flower Mound, and then I was able to make contact with two of the pastors who are heading up some efforts to get relief and just assistance to the victims of the hurricane. So the one was David Cisneros, and he is heading up helping out the Tennessee area, but we haven't really connected very much. We left voicemails for each other, and I got a text message with some things, some items that they need, but I was able to contact Calvary Chapel Valdosta, Georgia. And this is the pastor's daughter. Her name is Shauna. She's precious. And so we were able to just speak to one another and pray with each other for the area in Valdosta. This is the third hurricane that this area has been hit with in 13 months. So they're still recovering from the last one and trying to get their feet on the ground. She said it is the worst disaster that they have ever seen. Even the people that have lived through several hurricanes in their lifetime, they said they've not seen anything like this. They really do need our prayers, and they need our assistance if possible. So the first thing they're trying to do is just get their feet on the ground. She did ask, I know Pastor John shared yesterday, she asked specifically that we pray for the linemen's safety and for their energy, because they are working just around the clock trying to get electricity back up. So please pray for the linemen as they restore the power lines. Their website, Calvary Chapel Valdosta, has a lot of ways that we can help if you are interested in doing that. And I have this written down, so you don't have to take notes. You can grab one of these on your way out. But Calvary Chapel Valdosta is sending teams. So there is an email address that you can write to if you want to get connected to actually going hands on the ground, or boots on the ground, as they say. They're also partnering with Samaritan's Purse. And then they have online giving set up through their website that goes specifically to Helene Relief. And all of these are listed on their website. It's really easy to find. And then just through prayer, the Lord laid on our hearts a practical way. This is talking to Shauna, talking to the Lord, talking to Kim about what we can do as a women's ministry to just come together as women of the Word and share the love of Christ. So Shauna said, really, the area, they are praying for revival because it's bigger than just temporary things, right? I mean, it is about souls and salvation and hearts turning back to Jesus. And what an opportunity this is for those who have lost their foundation to look to Jesus Christ, the rock, who doesn't change. And so she said what would mean a lot, really, is a handwritten note letting the women or girls in the area know that they have been prayed over. And so we did grab some cards up here. We'll have them in the back by the snacks. So when we break for groups, if you can grab two or three, however many cards you feel like you will actually write. Like, let's not procrastinate on this, ladies. If you say you're going to write a card and pray for these women, let's actually do it. And then on here, there's also grab one of these little information packets, because it has the address, so where you will send it to. We are asking that you go ahead and write your note, pray over those women or that girl, and let them know that they've been prayed over from Calvary Chapel, Flower Mound, Texas. And then this has the address to send it to. And then we thought it would be really neat if we could just commit to setting a timer, an alarm, to pray daily for the next couple of weeks for the souls in Valdosta and other hurricane areas. So when I looked up Calvary Chapel Valdosta, their description on their website was the beautiful valley. And I thought, oh, we have talked so much about the Valley of Baca, or the Valley of Weeping. And so I opened up my Bible, and that is Psalm 84:5. And it says this. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. We've talked about that a lot. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, or weeping, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. And that also means blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. And so I thought maybe we could pray for the next couple of weeks at 8:45 a.m. or p.m. You pick your desire, but 8:45 because of Psalm 84:5. And just pray for those who are going through the valley of weeping, that they would turn to Jesus, the rock, the solid rock, and that those Christians would be strengthened by the Lord, and that they would just remember that this home is temporary. They're going to their eternal home. Their hearts are set on pilgrimage. So let's pray, and then I will put these back there, and we'll dismiss to your groups. Father God, we just lift up to you, Lord, every person that has been affected by this disaster. But God, you are still on the throne. This is not a surprise to you, Lord. Jesus, you are in charge of everything. You are not surprised by this. In fact, it is on your timeline, Lord. And we know, God, that you redeem all things and that you are preparing us for our eternal home. We are asking, God, that many Christians come together as the body of Christ. Lord, that we are truly just ministers to those who are hurting, Lord, that you strengthen those who love you, that they go from strength to strength because of who you are, and that non-believers would see Jesus as they are being ministered to, and their hearts would turn to you, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your mercy covers over those who are lost, that your comfort and your peace would just wash over those who have lost everything, God, that you would provide for their needs in practical ways. We thank you, Lord, for those who are willing and able to go and just minister to those in need. We pray, Heavenly Father, that through all this, many souls would be saved and we would see revival break out, God, that your name would be glorified through all of this and the kingdom of heaven would be rejoicing because of this, Lord. We love you and you get all the honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I will put this by the snacks. Grab cards, grab the address, and then we have Kimberly's group is right here. I know that for sure. This is Val. Then we have Jill. Tamar. Oh, Tamar and Jill. Okay.